plate a potential nugget.
The other challenge you talk about, Michael, onboarding challenge, mm-hmm. right? When leaders come into a new organization, I'm curious about the notion of decoding the culture, mm-hmm. right? Especially some of the hidden elements of culture, which often are not visible on the surface.
Yep.
So can you share your insights on what could leaders do to be effective in the way they decode the culture when they come into a new organization?
Well, I think the process has to begin before you even arrive, which is asking people through the process of recruitment about the culture of the organization. You know, what are the real rules of the game? How do things really get done there? Right? What gives people influence? What sorts of, you know, behavioral norms operate? And you can, you know, you can get into a few little dimensions that help you think about this, right? One example is decision making. Is this more a consensus-based organization where you need to, you know, touch base with all the key stakeholders, or is it more a more authoritative kind of model? Meetings are my favorite sort of, you know, as an anthropologist, right, as an organizational anthropologist, it's like the watering hole, you know, if you will, right, of organizations where you can observe a lot about what goes on in organizations socially and politically, right? So, you know, are meetings places where issues are openly debated, or are meetings places where understandings that have been reached in the meetings before the meetings are ratified, as an example? You know, processes versus relationships obviously are critical in terms of how you get things done. So it's things like that. You know, is it a culture that's more a culture of individual accomplishment, you know, star culture? Is it more collective? And there, you know, there are frameworks obviously that can help you think about this, but, you know, there's still no substitute for getting into the organization, engaging in that kind of observation. Sometimes it can help to find people in the organization that can help you understand what's going on. I think of them as sort of cultural interpreters, but there's no, you know, magic fairy dust here that can help you, you know, understand a culture instantly.
Of course. And you also talk about the trade-off between degree of adaptation, where the leader assimilates into the new context, and the degree of driving change,
yep.
where the leader asserts himself or herself in a new situation.
Yep.
Of course, it's contextual, but what have you seen leaders do effectively in walking the tightrope?
Sure. So I use a metaphor for organizational culture, which is I call it the organization's immune system, right? And like the human immune system, organizational culture is there in large extent to keep bad people and bad ideas from taking root. And so the risk if you do things that are not cultural, you know, is that you will be attacked by the immune system, right? And that, and isolated, even digested, right? If you want to go with further with the biological metaphor. So unless you're part of a critical mass of people that have the power to change the culture, and that's a big if, right? Then in general, what I recommend is you become enough a part of the place to win the ability to change the place. And that means, if you continue using my metaphor, doing a reasonable amount to fool the immune system, right? And not trigger things before you've established some credibility, established relationships, built a mandate, right, with others to drive the change process. It's very different if you're part of a group of people that are really there, maybe being brought in from the outside to really drive change in the organization. But it's a completely different dynamic when you're in that situation. So the advice I give there is more about the kind of the individual coming in, right? And you know, there's organizations sometimes set people up to fail. And one easy way to set people up to fail is to bring them into an organization as, in quotes, a change agent, when there isn't really, you know, consensus that change is necessary. You know, and I mean, I my little jokes about this again, right? So, you know, organization decides at some level intellectually, to your point, not emotionally necessarily, that change is necessary. So they hire a change agent, and the person comes in and, oh my goodness, they start trying to change things, you know, like, oops, you know, like, we weren't expecting this, you know, like, you know, so, and then, you know, the reaction begins. So I guess that's the essence of the advice, you know, but it is a trade-off, right? Because the other thing is you stay too long operating by the way the organization operates, the risk is you won't really drive the kind of change that's necessary.
And maybe just trying to map it to a time clock. Have you noticed any trends in terms of, let's say, leaders moving from observe and assimilate mode to taking calls mode? Is it 90 days, or is it 6 months? Do you have?
It's funny you said that, Greg, because I actually have never asked that question, Deepak, and it's such an interesting question. And 6 months just flashed into my mind. I can't tell you why I think that, right? But what I can tell you is 3 months doesn't seem like enough time to really have established a foundation sufficient to begin to drive that kind of change. Unless, right, you're in a turnaround environment where you've got that scope to do it. You know? But don't try to hold me to 6 months. I'm not sure I can support it. It was just kind of a intuitive, you know, response.
It's interesting to hear Michael say that it's arguably more important to earn the right to drive change before you start driving change, even if you have the right ideas that will move the organization forward. This reminds me of a podcast conversation I had with Ravi Venkatesan, who used to head Cummins in India and then transitioned to head Microsoft in India. Now, he wears multiple hats. One of them is UNICEF's special representative for young people. He speaks about how he thought about his transition when he took on the chairmanship of Bank of Baroda, given he had limited knowledge of the financial services world and public sector organizations.
As you know, that about 18 months ago, I took on a completely new role as the chairman of a public sector bank.
Right.
Now, I know nothing about banking, and I know even less about public sector. But yet, Raghuram Rajan and Jayant Sinha felt that it was important that I take it on, so I did. Now, what do you do in this situation? And you know that the place is filled with landmines and you can step on anything and without realizing it and get blown up. So what you have to do is listen intently. And I did. I made it a very conscious effort to listen to a bunch of people, retired chairman of the Bank of Baroda. Okay, so help me understand from your perspective, you know, what I should do, what the issues are, how would you handle them? You get a certain perspective. I went and spoke to Vagul of ICICI and PJ Nayak of Axis Bank. Sure. Even though they've been around and seen the evolution of the banking sector. I've met a lot of our own employees and so forth. So from this, you begin to piece together first the situation and then out of that emerges a theory of change, which is, you know, what interventions are really going to make a difference and who are going to be the important allies in this. If you don't listen and you start immediately, you come in with a point of view, you start, you know, jumping into action right away, you're going to make a lot of mistakes because you haven't built this nuanced and reasonably accurate picture of the landscape.
Piecing together the theory of change after listening to a range of people is critical before we start moving things around in the organization. Unless you're brought in for a turnaround where the context is different and there's a premium for early action. Thank you for listening. Please visit playtopotential.com for more content. You could visit the curated playlist section for specific bite-sized nuggets that are captured by themes, some of which might be relevant for you. You might be specifically interested in the playlist Settling into a New Context. This has perspectives from people from various domains, including what Dr. Ramachandra Guha says about how Gandhiji settled into India and started driving the independence movement when he moved here from South Africa. To access this, please go to the curated playlist page and click on Transitions. Within that, you will find the playlist Settling into a New Context. You can also find the podcast offline on platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.